Today is Father's Day, and we've had Father's Day, and we've had fathers, and we've had all kind of stuff. I did not choose to write a lesson on Father's Day. I figured we'd be here and have all kind of stuff, and somebody would fix up something good to eat, and before my eyes, it sprung right up your over yonder. And I knew what I was supposed to be looking at. So we're going to do something different today. I want to do a lesson today for you fathers out here. I want to talk to you about why the early church was so successful. I've seen and done a lot of things right here in this room. I've watched others do things, and others bring in things and say, hey, have you ever considered this? And I've been able to sometimes take some of that and make lessons from it. And you've shared things with me over these years. I mean, we've been here longer than dirt. This don't happen in most places. It just doesn't. But we're going to talk about the early church and why it was so successful. And I like this because I believe that there's still plenty of ministry in this place to do and to be able to have and get and then give it to other people if you choose to do that. Have you ever wondered why you have tried to do something but it just didn't seem to work? I love making things. I don't get to do it much anymore. I used to do it just all the time. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad was always building stuff, and I was putting on roofs when I was 10. He taught me how to do stuff. Have you ever tried to do something that just don't work? You put time in it, effort, into the endeavor, and yet at the end of the day, you just gave up. It just didn't work right. I've written lessons over the years, many of them. Spend 2 days sometimes writing a lesson and go over it, peruse through it again, and just go, whoosh, throw it away. You ever done something like that? When it makes you uncomfortable, it must be there to make other people uncomfortable. I don't want that. You put time and effort into your endeavor, and yet at the end of the day, it just don't work. Then maybe you try it again with the same result. So after a while, what do? You just give up. You quit. As we continue, we're going to examine the subject of evangelism in a sense. Today, we're called, and you know, and I know that we are called to share the message of Jesus Christ around the world. Is that true? We are called to share the message of Jesus Christ with anyone we come in contact with if we can have an audience with them. The Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. Shows the importance of going and making disciples. That's a big deal to God. The book of Acts shows us the Great Commission if we'll but watch and consider all of this. God wants us to do it. It's our job. It's not my job. There's an ideology in churchendom that the preacher runs the show of everything. In most places, that is true. And so if all of a sudden a handful or a bunch of people decide, you know, we don't like that old boy anymore, you have you a new one next week. There are places where a preacher can go to a place, take his family there, get settled in, and in just a little while, they're packing up, having to go somewhere else. The book of Acts shows how the Great Commission if we will but watch and consider all of this, we can learn. It is not one person's job. We need to get us a preacher to get out there. And boy, I'm telling you, I've heard this. I've seen it. We need to get us a new preacher that's going to get out there and really get out there and go after people. What is the rest of the people supposed to do? If you got 300 people in here and one preacher, what's the rest of them supposed to do? The Acts of the Apostles provides us with the account of the early church and how it spread, and it recounts the Acts of the Apostles. In other words, it gives us the first page of history on the church. The early church was growing by leaps and bounds. But why was the early church doing so well in the area of evangelism? They had no social media, and they had no Bible app. How many of you got a Bible app? I don't even have a Bible app. They had no big church signs that said, Church of Christ North, y'all come here. They had no big shiny new churches in which to worship. Yet throughout the book of Acts, we see a great deal of growth. It was growing all over and being taken all over the world. I think from an intellectual standpoint, we all know we're called to reach people. We know that. We may not do anything with it, but we know it's there. Yes or no? I think from an intellectual standpoint, we all know that we're called to reach. It seems as though forces are working against us, though. And that's what Satan does. However, there's something for us to consider. Many times we excuse our lack of success in the area of evangelism on the society in which we live. It's true that the society, by and large, is not too eager to embrace Jesus. However, the early church, different from most of us, thrived in the same environment. Today, we'll suggest three things that the early church did to help make the evangelistic efforts succeed. The great thing about these three issues is that we still possess them today. This is not something new. We just need to make sure that these things are part of our efforts to refocus our mission and purpose in the right direction. If all the churches strive to take the advantage of these issues, we would be having opportunities to be all the way around the world. If we can grasp onto the three facts we'll share today, we can be successful in our endeavor to reach the world. Today we're going to examine Acts chapter 4, 32 to 35. The entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. That would mean that what I have, you have, and what you have, I have. Evangelism efforts are aided by the fact that the early church possessed a powerful church processed by a powerful witness. The church at Jerusalem was showing us what unity looked like and how powerful of a witness a united church could be. These folks were laser beam focused on the mission. They were united in Christ, and this unitedness gave them powerful witness to the lost world around them. We have a powerful weapon at our disposal. The weapon is the power and witness of our unity. You don't have unity because everybody just gets up in a bunch. You get unity when you start to see people come together and all thinking more alike. If you have splintering ideology in this church, what are you going to end up with? You're going to have division. But if you pull it together and say, hey, we are one together, that's how you do. The church at Jerusalem was showing what unity looked like. These folks were laser beam focused on this mission. The Corinthian church was struggling with the concept, and the Jerusalem church showed the world what unity looked like. And it became a powerful witness for Jesus. And the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. Do you believe that when people can have one heart and one mind, it changes the whole of everything? Everybody's together. There's nobody who's better than the other. We're just the same. This is one heart, one mind, and it shows unity. The phrase represents the intellectual side of their Christian life. One soul or mind indicates the close, loving union these early believers enjoyed. These people have a deep love for one another, and it's based on their unity on behalf of Jesus Christ. They didn't just come up with it and say, hey, let's do this. They took it from Jesus and said, we're going to be like that. These people have a deep love for one another based on their unity on behalf of Jesus Christ. Taken together, the expression one in mind and one in heart may be expressed verbally as they thought the same things and they wanted the same things. That's how you get things. You get what is needed, not something way off somewhere else in the other side of the world somewhere. These people were not looking for a number one. They cared about one another. I mean, if we had a situation in this congregation right now where somebody was just about to die, in this room right now, they were kicking and doing whatever, you know, who you do when you get ready to die. How would we react with that? Well, there's Alan. He dying. We'll finish up in a little bit. That's not what happens. When people's lives are being broken down because of outside evil, we need people who's able to help each other. Does the powerful witness we see from the early church and its generosity they had for one another, that stands out. They did not just talk about unity. They displayed it. They made it visible. This is why unity couldn't be commanded. It takes a giving heart by all involved to make it happen. You can't just come in here and say, I command you to go do these things by this time tomorrow. And you're going to say, go suck an egg. But what if it comes up and said, if we get it together and we do this together, we'll get this right. These Christians were helping one another as the need arose. Fellowship. Here's what true fellowship is, if you want to know. What's mine is yours. I'll share it. That good stuff? If I've got it and you need it, what do? Do what you do. In Acts 4:33, with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace was on all of them. Our evangelism efforts are aided by a powerful message. The next tool in the tool chest of the early church was a great power. The apostles were preaching the word. Specifically, they were preaching on the resurrection. Now, you can talk about goodness, you know, you can talk about all kind of things, but when you see somebody like Jesus could do that was raised from the dead right before your eyes, would that change things for you? Would that be different? Yeah, that's the way God did it. Specifically, they were preaching on the resurrection because it was the powerful word. I believe the focus of the great power was the message of the resurrected Christ. You can do a lot of stuff in the Bible. How many of you in here has ever actually read the Bible all the way through? Well, the people in early years didn't have a book like we have. It was being written during those times. The message hit a nerve with the Sadducees who didn't believe there was an afterlife. Have you ever had a boil or something on your arm or leg that just hurts you every time you move? That's what the Sadducees were. They were just always messing with everything. So the early church didn't have a social media or multimedia or anything fancy. They were proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. That's how they did theirs. What's one thing that nobody else has? It's the message of Jesus Christ. It is the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for our sins and rose on a third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realm. That's what God is taking on right here today, though He didn't need a microphone and He didn't need to have to travel the distance. It's a message of Jesus Christ. It's the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for our sins, rose on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father. We can have a different church name. We're called Church of Christ North. Why aren't everybody else named that? Well, they got their own names. We can have a different church name, different signs, cool multimedia, cool stuff for multimedia presentations, awesome singing, which I think is excellent. However, if we neglect the message, we're wasting a powerful tool. When the verse tells us the great grace was on all of them, this refers to God's favor. How would you like for God to say through His people, great grace was on all of them? I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you. I can't prove anything. I can read the book. I believe the book. If you don't believe the book, you don't. But I believe that God gives you what He wants you to have. What you do with it is a different story. You have the same information when you pick up a book like this, the Holy Bible. And it's here with all of those stories, all of those things that happened through all of those years. And God put it all together, and He kept it out there, and He did it to keep us going. And when the verse tells us that great grace was on all of them, this refers to God's favor. How would you like to know that you are in God's favor? Now I'm going to tell you, I mess up. I am the king of mess up. But I have a God that wipes it clean before it's ever made dirty again. When the verse tells us that the grace was on all of them, this refers to God's favor. The church had it right. They were united in spirit. They were united in heart. They had the same mission, and God, in the whole process of it, was blessing them. the whole time. They preached a message that was not compromised, without fear, even though some were beaten for doing so, according to Acts 5:40. Our efforts to reach the lost today will be significantly aided by us understanding that we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to be able to save people and see them transformed. Acts chapter 4, 34 to 35. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as they had need. Our evangelism efforts are aided by the power of love. This ties back to the first point, considering the powerful witness. That witness was built on unity. It was based on the powerful love for one another that led folks to sacrificially give to help anyone within the church who had a need. It's one thing to give a couple of dollars to help someone. It's another thing to be willing to sell your stuff and give it away. That's a hard thing to do. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul writes, "In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat." These folks loved each other enough to serve each other sacrificially and to give help to one another. We're blessed to have a generous, loving congregation here who will help us when we need. I've seen many times. I've been here long enough to know. I've seen it so many times. There's people that need something. There are bums that come to these doors bumming. You know that, right? And you pretty much well know if they get the amount they want, they may drink it up before we get out of here on the same day. You think that's possible? When he was being scorned on the cross, Jesus was. What prompted him to say concerning those who beat him, who spit on him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? You know what's wrong with this world and us somewhere? We don't really know what we really have. God gave us the best blessing that could have ever been given us. He gave us life. And let me tell you something. If you die tomorrow, you're still good. Because you die doesn't mean it's over. You're going to die. I've done too many funerals. I know people are going to die constantly, but I do know this. When God gives us something and what He's telling us, it's going to happen. When folks have a need, they will do their best they can to step up and meet the need. One thing in the world is looking for from this is love. People were motivated not by the fact that I got a biscuit today instead of being hungry all day. They were out there looking for love. They need somebody to love them. How many of you starve your people at your table? You know what? When God gives you what He gives you, it's yours. And then what do? The best thing to do is, if you got some of that left, give it to somebody else. Isn't that what you do when you share like that? God has given us all of that. It's a terrible witness when we don't love each other enough. And people are motivated by love. I pray that we're motivated by Jesus Christ. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be wrapped up in this. I want you to be the kind of people that if somebody needs something, help them. Now, I don't do much with bums. Now, there are people in this world, and you know it's true. They would rather steal what you have than to work for it. You think so? I mean, now, in this country right now. You're seeing this bumming off of everybody everywhere you go because it was given liberty from the government to do that. And that's dumber than dirt. But would you still help them if they were hungry? Most likely. Here's what I want to do. I want to be in the arms of God. I want to be that kind of guy that even though I've got my issues, I want to be able to say, God is good all the time. And there's never a day when God will disappoint us. And the church said what? Amen.